Hello, my name is Victoria Jalamore. I am 23 years old, and today is March. You know what date is March? It's the 22nd of March, 2019. I'm speaking with my friend Mark Bertrand, who is one of my good friends and also on my staff as a community advisor at Plymouth State University. We are currently in Plymouth, New Hampshire at Cafe Monte Alto, and we're going to talk about some religious views, some experiences that Mark's had, and we're just going to dive into Mark's kind of outlook on life. Okay. So, Mark, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
So I'm a first semester senior at Plymouth State University. I'm 21. Currently trying to figure out what to do after college, even though I have a little while still left to worry about that. I grew up in Enfield, Connecticut for 16 years. I moved to New Hampshire my junior year of high school. I graduated high school early. I went to college right after. Did three semesters, came back, took a semester off, came back, and came to Plymouth State. So that's a little bit about myself. Currently an interdisciplinary studies major, currently figuring out how to, I'll get all that figured out to create my own major to...
Can you explain what interdisciplinary studies is?
Interdisciplinary studies is something where you can go and sort of create your own major with a combination of two or more disciplinaries. So my disciplinaries are communications, business, and graphic design, and I'm forming that into something that I believe would be beneficial to me, to what I want to do in my life, which would be post-production editing, and yeah, that's about it.
Nice, awesome. So Mark, you know this is from my anthropology of religion class.
Yes, you told
me. We're going to talk about religion.
Okay,
is that okay?
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. It's totally fine.
At any time, if you feel you're uncomfortable to answer your question, just let me know. I'm not going to pressure you to do
okay.
Anything.
That's fine.
So why don't you tell me about what your religious life was like when you were a child, like when you were growing up?
So I grew up in a Catholic home. I was baptized. I went to Catholic school from kindergarten to sixth grade. I ended up not liking that as much, so I begged my mother to let me go to a public school. Because I just didn't feel like religion was something that I not necessarily enjoyed, but didn't really get into. And I felt like it was just not something I just didn't want to do, to have in my academic career. So that's about that. I went to church every Sunday with my family for most of my life. I was an altar boy.
What's an altar boy?
If I can remember correctly. An altar boy is kind of like someone who helps out with mass, and what I did was I would prep the area before mass started. I would clean up after. I'd ring a bell during certain readings, which would indicate passing of passages that we did when the priest would speak, just to indicate that was the end of the reading, and then we would do songs. We would, have a really fun time in church. That was like my one favorite thing was singing along with other people. That's basically what I did as an altar boy, and helped out with communion and everything. That's pretty much it. What else have I done? That's pretty much it. I stopped going to church after I was like 12 or 13. Just because my grandmother was the main motivation, and she was getting old, so we just decided to start doing church at home for a little while.
How did you do that?
We usually live streamed it on television, so we would like find one that was in English and like close by, and we would try to get something closer so we actually knew the church and everything. That was kind of difficult because they usually would do it once in a while, but not every week. So that was interesting.
This is in Connecticut?
Yeah, this is in Connecticut. Which there was some good ones, but it was kind of hard to find the ones that you needed, because certain channels would do it sometimes and then other channels would do it the other time.
Yeah.
That was a whole fiasco, but that's how we managed to do it. And then we just stopped doing it all together. My grandmother would still do the church channels, but we wouldn't really necessarily do it with her. We had our own lives to figure out, and my life was getting bigger, more busy with going into middle school and going into high school and all that, so I just didn't really get into it as much anymore. Now I've been to church in a very, very long time. I should probably go soon.
Why do you think so?
Just because it was a family tradition, and my grandmother recently passed away over the year, so I feel like I should go at least once in memory for her and feel more, a little bit more connected. I necessarily don't enjoy going, but I feel like I should just for once, since she's been gone, just to get that sort of memory. So that's about it. But yeah, that's about my religion background. So
that's great. You had mentioned that you went to Catholic school and you didn't really like it that much. Can you tell me an experience that particularly left you in a bad taste for Catholic school?
I didn't mind Catholic school that much, but the one that I went to, I was there the entire time I was in Catholic school. I went to their preschool, I went to their kindergarten, I went to their elementary. It was okay with, you know, academics and everything, but the people there weren't very nice. My teachers didn't really do anything when I was getting bullied from other kids in my class, so that just kind of made it worse. They were just like, everything was about religion, and everything was like religion was more important than their academics, and that kind of like made me fall behind, because I didn't learn as much as I did with the other class. Like, I was a slow learner as a kid, where I would have to take slower classes, and I got picked on for that, and the teachers didn't really care until I had to bring it up to the principal, and the principal was just like, okay, that needs to stop, and then it just never did. But yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to leave, because I was just sick of it, and I didn't have any friends growing up in that school. After I left, I went to high school with some of them, because they ended up going to the public high school. I later on became friends with them, sort of, but not to the point where, like, I was hanging out with them. I was just, like, acquaintances. We were acquaintances for a while, and some of them I became really good friends with, but it got to the point where it just, like, you know, they grew up, and they realized that, like, hey, that wasn't cool, and I still talk to them once in a while, but not as often as I used to. So that's about it for that.
So no one hit you with rulers or anything?
No. They would slam the ruler on the desk to wake you up if you fell asleep. But they never hit you. They never did anything. I was scared for that. I was like, that was one of my, like, when I was growing up, I was like,
you see it in the movies.
We watched it in the movies, and they try to intimidate you in the school, and I'm just like, that ain't gonna happen. I ain't gonna let that slide. My mom's gonna.
So what age did your parents start bringing you to church?
Oh, ever since I was a little kid. Like I said, I was baptized, and then, like, I don't even remember when I started. It's been that long ago. Like, I think I was, like, maybe, like I think they probably brought me when I was a baby. So, yeah, that's as long as I can remember. I went to church, like, when I was I went to church a lot, like, every week. Every week, we went to Sunday Mass. If we couldn't make the morning one, we would go to the night one. And if I was at my grandmother's place at the time, we would go to her church, and they always did 10 o'clock Mass at night. It was really cool, though. I liked the night ones more than I liked the morning ones, because I'm not a morning person. I've never been a morning person, so I really
can attest to this. You should have seen what it took to get him here to the coffee place.
Yeah, but I was working last night, and it was a very long night. I like the night ones more. It was more involving and very more engaging. And plus the church was so cool to look into. The one that I had at my home was, like, down the street from where I used to live. And it was nice. But the one that I went to at my grandmother's, like, it was huge, very decorative, very, very renovated. It was really nice. I miss that. I can specifically remember the altar really well still, for some reason, because it never really left my mind, because I always went there all the time, so it kind of just imprinted in my brain. So, yeah, it was really nice.
Can you tell me the earliest childhood memory you have of actually having a religious belief? Maybe something that your parents told you was true, or maybe something that you kind of figured out on your own?
That's an interesting question. What have I experienced that would have been?
That you believe was true. It doesn't need to be this like crazy existential experience, like so, you know, someone healed your ankle or something.
No. I'm trying to remember. Maybe more or less like. Treat your neighbor as you would want to be treated. I find that it's like the golden rule, like everyone else says it is. Because I usually treat people with respect and kindness, and I'm a very nice person. As a person, I'm very nice and very soft-spoken. I care a lot about people, even if I don't know them. I'm like, okay, are you okay? Like, do you need help? Like, as a community advisor, that really works in my favor, because if you're nice to them, your residents are nice to you, and I find that really helpful. For my job and for my life, I've always been a nice person. I believe, I hope so. I have that aspect where like you would like I've been told that like once you look at me, you get this like nice feeling of like, oh, this person's a nice person, and
it's true.
I would like aww, and like they're like a nice person. So I get that often, or like they always tell me like, you're such a nice person. Like, why do you do so much for people? And I'm just like, because I feel like I need to. As a person, I feel like I want to help. Which is why I wanted to take this job in the first place, because I like to help people. Some of the aspects I would rather look without, but I enjoy everything that I have to do.
Mark's working on how to say no to people.
That's so true.
It's been a process.
Yeah, that is true. I don't say no enough. It's like 98% yes, 2% no.
Awesome. Okay. So you grew up Catholic. You mentioned that you kind of stepped away from the Catholic faith. So how was that process? Like, when did that really happen in your life?
I think like right at the end of middle school into high school, I believe.
Were you still in Catholic school as a middle schooler?
No, I left right after sixth grade. Right in like the middle of sixth grade, I left.
Oh, sixth grade, middle school?
No, not, well, at my middle school, they ended up having sixth grade. When I was in eighth grade, they added sixth grade. So I kind of just like added it into middle school, because like I do believe that sixth grade could be considered middle school.
In the South, it's all like sixth, seventh, eighth is always middle school. And up here, it like differs from town to town.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
It's weird.
So you're in middle school in about sixth grade?
Roughly, yeah. It was roughly around that area. I had some events that happened in my life where a couple of my family members had passed away, and I just didn't really see that if God was like necessarily like all faithful and everything, like why would this all happen? This all happened within like a year or two. And I was just like, well, why is this happening? Like, I'm not necessarily like blaming God and everything. I just was like, why would this necessarily take place? If you pray and you do all this and you ask for better events in your life, and you want to like ask and be like, hey, can I have like something better instead of having these things happen? And it just never really got better, I believe. What really struck me was my cousin's passing, because she fought cancer for about 3 years and she died at 13.
Wow.
She had brain cancer, and she was cancer free after 3 years, and then they found cancer cells in her hips, and it just deteriorated her body, and it ended up killing her. So I kind of was just like, I prayed so hard, like I was just like, please let her live, if there is someone out there, like please have her live, like all that, and my prayers were never answered. I just never really got answers for my prayers. Not necessarily that's the reason for me not believing, but that's just one of the key factors that I believe was the reason for my religious change. I'm not really much of a religious person now. We'll get into that. because I thought long and hard about, you know, why I don't think this is a good option and why I believe that. The way that I do now is, like, I came up with some very good key factors of what I believe now is what I believe is true, not necessarily what other people think is true. I've never really met anyone with the same beliefs that I've had. It's just an interesting time. I believe that's maybe one of my key factors for why I had a religious change. It's been so long ago. It could have been something completely different, and I could be completely messing that up, but sixth grade was, like, over, like, 10 years ago. Or
sixth grade's always a tough time.
Sixth grade was an interesting time for me. Middle school was interesting. I have blocked out most of my middle school just because it was that bad. So yeah, I don't really remember the main reason, but there was a little bit of, like,
it was wrapped around in that time.
It was wrapped around in that time, yeah.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about what you believe now and how you came to the realization of what you believe now?
So I believe the main reason why you got interested in what I was telling you this week was I don't necessarily believe in a higher power, like religion. I believe that once we pass in our time, I believe we do end up going somewhere, but I don't necessarily think it's what we call heaven. I'm more believe of a place called purgatory. I more believe in a place like purgatory, where we go somewhere.
Can you explain what purgatory is for the listeners?
What I believe it is, there's many, like, kind of definitions within different beliefs, I believe, but what I believe purgatory is like a kind of like a spiritual world where our souls and our spirits go after we die. And what I would like to believe it is like we can watch over our future generations, like our children, our grandchildren, and we can check in on how they're doing once in a while, but we don't necessarily have to be there. That's what I would like to believe and hope that is what we await. It'd be nice to, for me, I would like to believe that, like, when I die, I would like to check in on my family and make sure that they're okay and give that sort of, like...
Would you scare your brother?
No. I would never.
For an insight to Mark Slap, he's a twin brother.
As much as he deserves to be scared, I don't believe I would do that.
I hope he hears this.
Oh, he's going to. I don't know. I would like to be able to check in on if I end up passing before my mother, I would like to check in on her and give her that sort of, like, spiritual visit to kind of, like, reassure her that, like, hey, I'm doing fine where I am. Don't worry about me. Like, I still love you. I'm a mother's boy.
You are a mother's boy.
I didn't grow up with a father, so my mother has always been my both parents, and I love her to death.
She did a good job raising you.
She honestly did, and I was just a little sitter in high school, and I still apologize for the day of how I treated her in high school, and I was like, listen, it was the teenage phase, like, everyone goes through that.
You ever see those memes on Facebook where it's like in middle school and your mom asks you how you're doing, and you're like, get away from me,
that
and
was
it's like now,
friend.
It's like, mom, the grass is so green here, I'll call you back in 10 minutes.
And that's literally how it goes. I'll literally just call her and be like, it's snowing right now, and I know you like snow, but I don't, and it needs to go away. And she's just like, I'm thriving. And I'm like, I'm not. It's cold. So, I'm very close with my mother. I actually plan on going to see her this weekend because I haven't seen her in like two to three weeks. And I'm like, I need some mom time. I need my mom time. So, what were we originally saying? Oh, yes. Purgatory. That's what I kind of want to believe in. It's just like we go somewhere, not necessarily what we believe to be heaven. But I do, like, I also have another philosophy on what my kind of like purgatory / place we go to would be. And I like to reference it to a movie.
Do you have two kind of ideas
about it? I was thinking about this interview last night when I was on duty, and I was just like, okay. Like, I wanted to get everything settled in and, like, think about everything that I believe in to be true, because I never really had that full mentality thought process of what I want to have when I pass. And I don't really think of death a lot. I'm not a very, like, thoughtful person when it comes to that, because it's just a sore topic in my life. I've had a lot of people pass in my life, and it's been a very interesting time. Where was I going with it? So, like, purgatory is one of the places I would like to have. And another one that I believe to be is, like, we go somewhere where we're, like, in our kind of, like, our own fantasy world or, like, our own safe place when we pass, where our spirits can, like, do as we please. Not, like, you know, have impact in the world stuff, but I would like to reference the movie The Lovely Bones. I watched it as a kid.
Oh, you always talk about that film class.
As a film editor, I love what they do with the editing there. I love the idea of, because I haven't watched the movie and I haven't read the book in so long, is there was this girl who was murdered, and she goes into what they call heaven. And I necessarily don't call it that, just because of my beliefs. I believe, like, she has, like, her own little place where she is, and she can check in on her family once in a while, and she has, like, this own place where, like, she can, like, imagine what would happen, and it would come to her world, and, like, she can be like, oh, I want to be in an airplane ad, and then, like, come out of the ad, and, like, have, like, all the fun that she has with this whole world. And it's just kind of like her own place where she can have whatever she wants from that place and have fun and, you know, have a good rest of eternity. And that's kind of like what I wanted. Because that would be really cool to, like, think, like, I want to have a field full of corgis and run around
yes,
with them. I want to have that. That'd be so cool. So that's kind of like what that's like my second idea of what I want to have for that.
You're not, like, strongly attached to either idea. These are just things that you're kind of
sort of yes and no. There are some things where I'm very, like, very strong about. I do believe there is a place that we go to, but not necessarily a higher power. I strongly believe that.
These ideas of what someone might call heaven.
Yeah.
Specifically, you're not strongly tied to either one.
No.
Okay.
That's just because, like, everyone has their own beliefs and own place they want to go to and everything, and that is completely okay to have. I completely support everyone's beliefs and ideas for what they believe in to be religion or as, like, perspectives. That's completely okay with me. Like, you can believe whatever you want to believe. I don't care. I don't judge. Like, if you believe in something else that someone else does, I don't care. Like, you can believe whatever you want to believe in. That's completely acceptable. So it's kind of like my kind of philosophy on it. It's not really complex, but it's very interesting to hear. The more I talk about it to myself, it's more of an interesting idea. It's like, I was like, oh, that's really cool to think about. Like, yeah, I really like that. So I'm not, like, and some people call it, like, atheism. I'm like, I'm not an atheist. It's not like I don't believe in religion. I believe there might be a higher power, but I'm not necessarily, like, drawn into that idea. It's just, like, there might be, but there might not be.
So would you call yourself more of an agnostic?
Probably, yeah, kind of.
So for those who don't know, an agnostic, they don't particularly ascribe to a certain religion, but they are, you know, they have a feeling that, oh, there could be something, there could not be something, but there's not really a way to tell.
Yeah, something like that. Like, I don't ever, like, say, like, oh, no, religion is stupid. Like, that's not something that's
very respectful, my belief.
I'm very, I listen to you all the time speak about Jesus and God, and I'm just like, okay, that's an interesting aspect. Like, go for it. Like, believe what you want to believe in. But for me, I'm just like, it's not like I don't believe, it's just like, it's more of like, if it happens, it happens. If it is what it is, it is what it is. That's not for me to determine. That's not what I'm going to stick to, because it could be completely wrong. It could be a religion that's, like, actually true, or there could be a place that's actually there that wasn't described in any religion. It could just be, it could be whatever. We don't know. We absolutely don't have proof.
people might fight me against that and like go against me about that. So that's what I believe in. I believe that like we don't actually know because we don't go there at all in our life until we actually move on. So yeah, that's what I like really like to believe is all of that. It's very difficult to grasp when you hear this, and I know I'm probably contradicting myself with some things and probably like confusing, but
guess what, this interview's about you, so
yeah, I know, so I'm like, it's whatever, like I can confuse people, it's fine, but like it's not confusing to me. I've been like this for many years, since like my freshman and sophomore year of college. I had this sort of like epiphany about all of this, and that's when I kind of just like strongly got the grasp of like how I believe it. It's very interesting, very different. I've never had anyone have like something of the same kind of aspect perspective. I'm like, it'd be cool to have these ideas with someone else, but I mean, I grew up in like different religious belief areas in my life, except for when I moved to New Hampshire and everyone's just like, you know, they either don't or they don't. They do or they don't.
It's a very, what my church calls an unchurched population.
Yeah.
The people in New England are very conservative with their faith and their spirituality. Probably because it's so cold, it makes it bitter. I'm from the South, so I was born in New Hampshire, but I grew up in Florida, so I'm very open and outward with my faith. They can freak people out.
I've been in the Northeast for all my life, really. Yeah. I haven't moved anywhere besides Connecticut and New Hampshire. I lived in Rhode Island for a couple months in college, but I was like 5 minutes from the ocean, so it's like very windy and very cold. That was a fun experience. My college is like 5 minutes down the road, but I'm like, I can't walk in there. I can't. It's too cold.
Going back to the heaven thing, I wanted to share with you a funny story. I know this interview is about you, but I have a really funny story about what I perceived heaven to be. So when I was growing up, when my grandparents passed away, both my parents were like, oh, yeah, Uncle's, in bed in heaven, and grandmother's bringing him his orange juice and his pills. That's kind of always what I thought heaven to be. And my freshman year of college, I was engaged to a Marine who I met at church in Virginia Beach when I was at the Army School of Music. And he was like, that's not what heaven's like. And in this, like, very aggressive way, just told me, like, everything I thought as a child was wrong. I, like, started crying on the phone. I was so upset. I was so upset that I, like, wouldn't let him explain, like, his views. I was like, no, you're wrong. And he had to call his mom and put her on a three-way call with us. And the way she explained it was very nice. I still haven't, like, done a very deep study about this. But she was like, you know how you feel about Justice, the guy I was dating? I was like, yeah. She was like, when you're in heaven, you're going to feel that way about everybody. And I was like, oh, so there are people who are going to feel that way about him. And she was like, yes, about the jealousy in me. I was like, no.
You can't do that. Only I can.
So that was one way that heaven was like, when you guys brought it, I wanted to share it with you.
Yeah, there's like many different definitions about heaven. What I've come to learn is that people always have like a certain definition of it, not necessarily from the Bible.
Yeah.
They can be very different. Like mine. Like I don't necessarily believe in a heaven, but I don't necessarily like absolutely disagree with the possibility of it. I would, as respect to my grandmother, who was very religious and like even when she was in like the nursing home and like kind of cuckoo from the constant trips to the hospital and the constant like just growing old in general, she always still believes in heaven, and she's like, I'm gonna go soon to this place, and I want it to be exactly how I believed in all of my life, and I'm like, I hope that's something that you have. As the months grow closer, because she passed away June last year, we're going to go visit her, and we're going to, say some prayers for her, because that's what she wants to have. That is what she always wanted to, even if we don't believe it necessarily. I told her that I don't believe religion, and she got offended and almost got the wooden spoon, and I'm like, oh, God, no. My grandma was just like, don't you dare. She would never hit me, but like she'd be like, she would intimidate me, be like, I'm going to get the spoon. And I'm like,
I'm gonna get your spoon.
I'm like, yeah, but you ain't gonna do anything with it. Like, try me. that's how I love her. I still miss her. So like we're gonna go, we're gonna do some prayers and everything. So that's just cause that's always just what she strongly believes in. That was like her what moved her in life was God and like Jesus and everything in the Bible.
So she was a Christian.
Yes. She's always been. She always made us do prayers during Christmas and Thanksgiving.
At dinner tables.
At the dinner tables and everything. She always did graves. Yeah, that was just kind of like something that we always respected. And it was just like, if she wants to do it, we'll do it for her because, you know, we support each other. We help with what they believe in. We help with, not like help, but like we support it and we do it because we respect them and we want them to be respected. So
when you said that you were going to your grandmother's grave, I assume,
yes.
to say some prayers, who do you pray to when you pray?
I don't necessarily pray to anyone really. I kind of pray to like
whoever's listening.
Yes, the whole entire passing place that we go to. I don't necessarily like pray to an entity or a person. I pray for, you know, like best wishes. I'm hopeful that like where you're at is somewhere where you want to be, and I'm hoping that you're happy with where you are. It's not necessarily like.
So you're praying to the person that you're praying about.
Yes, that's pretty accurate. I'm just like I hope you're doing well. I hope everything's good. I miss you, all that kind of stuff. I do that from time to time when I'm having a bad day. I'm like, hey, miss you, hope you're doing well. Kind of like a check-in, really.
Kind of like how you call mom, you call grandma sometimes.
Yeah, I miss her. She was a good person. I miss her a lot, actually, because she was like my best friend.
Aww.
Yeah, the funny story is, when I was born, she lived in Florida. And the moment I was born, she packed everything up and moved as soon as possible to Connecticut. And
it was just for you. It wasn't for your brother, right?
I would like to believe it was for me and my brother, but more likely me, because I was her favorite, and it proved it shows.
It shows.
I would do so much for her. She'd be like, hey, can you go get this because my feet hurt? I'm like, okay. I did so much for her. I would mow her lawn when she lived in her condo, and I was such a little kid. I really was. But I did it because I loved her, and I'm just like, she can't, like, my uncle lived with her because, you know, he ain't
family
that.
Happens.
Yeah, family happens, and he wasn't, like, the smartest person with money, so, like, he wouldn't do anything, and I'd just be like, I'll do it. I'll do it because you don't want to do it. And, you know, I would get $5, and I'm like, I didn't do it for money, but thanks. But she was my motivation to kind of still believe in something, just because I always wanted her to, like, have that sort of influence on me, I guess. Yeah.
Nice.
This got into my personal life. I'm so sorry.
No, this interview was about you.
I know.
So you've done a really good job describing like your idea of heaven. So do you believe in something that might be called hell or anything like that?
I'd like to.
Yeah.
I believe that awful people deserve to go somewhere where they're not necessarily keen on. You know, like if you do something really awful, I believe that maybe there should be a place for you to go, where you're not probably happy with, just because you had an awful influence on people and you've done some pretty bad things. I'd like to believe that. That'd be really nice, so I don't ever have to deal with, like, their spirits if I ever go and they're like, hey, and I'm like, no, go away.
So do you believe in redemption of any type?
Never really thought of that.
So for me, anyways, in the Bible it says every sin is the same. So, you know, telling a white lie about where you got your coffee. Oh, I got it at Monte Alto. Oh, actually, I got it at Dunkin' Donuts. In the Bible, every sin is the same. So that would be the same thing as killing someone.
Really?
Oh yeah. So the redemption factor. Yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
I don't really like everything in the Bible either. I'd be able to live the life I want, right?
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Not necessarily it's weird, but like it's such a weird, like kind of like I was honestly, okay, I'm fired up because like that's weird.
But, so another part of that aspect in the Bible is that when you ask God for forgiveness, you were wiped clean. Everything that you've ever done in your past, you were made new. He's giving me a look.
I would like to explain my look.
Yeah, explain your look.
I'm more of like, what? Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but if I'm like, if I lie about getting a coffee from a different place, that should never count to be like, oh, I killed like 50 people. No. Okay, no. There's a line that should be drawn with that kind of thing. Because why would that weigh the same as something as awful as that? That's so...
Maybe the coffee thing wasn't a bad thing.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, something like that could be easily forgiven can be forgiven. And I'm like, that's interesting. Not necessarily, like, I don't have any... Like, it's something that is wrong, but it's such an interesting, like, aspect of that. Like, if that's really what it could be, why? That's like a question that I have. Like, why would that be the same? Like, why would that like be like if all sins can be wiped clean if you ask for forgiveness? Why would it be that easy?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go for it.
Cool. So what you said before about something being like a lie, revealing, oh, I got this, you know. Typically when people lie, it's to deceive. So when I had said, oh, I got this coffee from Monte Alta, but I actually got it from Dunkin's, in my mind, someone was trying to play off, like, oh, I got better coffee, and you're showing it off in some way. So the reason behind the lie is usually deceitfulness, to get something out of someone, for something like that.
Okay.
And you had said something about that lie being easily forgiven as opposed to killing 50 people. Well, in God's eyes, everything is easily forgiven because he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
So our atonement's already paid for. So he's just like, come and be with me. Like, let me be your father. Let me tell you how I designed your life to live so you can live it to your best.
Okay, I can understand that. I've never heard of that though. Like I read the Bible when I was like in Catholic school we had to read.
Did you read the whole Bible?
Yeah, we had to read the entire Bible.
I'm a pastor. I haven't done it yet. I'm working on it for everybody who's listening.
Our Bibles were like they weren't like huge like definite like defined books. They
weren't like study Bibles. What?
Puppy.
Oh,
sorry.
There's
a really cute. There's a really cute little.
We're in college. We can't have animals in our room, so.
It's like it's so tiny.
Dog. It has snow covered on it. It's walking. Oh,
okay.
I totally thought it's peeing in the street.
No, okay, so back to the whole thing. When I read the Bible, our Bibles were like they weren't really defined, but like they were a little bit detailed. They weren't like massive, like the ones that you see where they're like huge.
Yeah.
It was more of like a sort of like a not like a dumbed down version, but a simpler version.
Do you remember the translation? Do you remember what it was called?
No. I can't go back. My memory doesn't even remember what I did yesterday mostly.
Mood.
Yeah, a mood. It's very, that's very interesting to have. Like, I don't necessarily disagree with that whole, like, if you ask for forgiveness, God will accept it and kind of, like,
wipe
it off. Yeah, because, like, because he sent his son to carry that sin from other people, and he died on the cross and everything. And I'll tell you a good one of my favorite memories from church in a little bit, because I just thought about this when we were
talking
about
it. Yeah, go for it.
But, like, that is such an interesting perspective, and, like, I it's weird to have that be kind of like explained, like if you ask for forgiveness, your slate is clean. I can agree with that and disagree on certain things, but for me, I feel like if you do something really awful, something bad, like not necessarily something bad should happen in your lifetime, but I believe that there should be a consequence.
There should be punishment.
There should be regardless.
There
if
is punishment.
Even if you ask for forgiveness, some things can't be forgiven. In my mind, some things cannot be forgiven for people's actions. Like, that's just such an interesting thing. I'm really flabbergasted about that because I've never actually heard that and the way that you explained it.
So let me ask you this. If you think that there are things that can't be forgiven, do you believe that people can change in any aspect of their life, not just because they know Jesus or anything?
Yeah, I believe that people can change. However, there's still that, like, that moment where, you know, you've done something bad. I mean, you can change and make up for it, depending on what it is, but there's just some, like, if it's really big, I don't think it can be easily changed and forgiven. But, I mean, who am I to say that that's true or not? I don't know. I don't even know if my perspective is right or whatever is right. I don't know. That's just what I would like to believe, and that's what I think is a good aspect.
All right, we got 5 minutes left in this interview.
All right. Wow, it's been 40 minutes already.
40 minutes.
That's interesting. I hope you all have, stayed interested in what this interview is going. Because I honestly, I've never really had conversations about my personal beliefs, and it's so interesting.
I'm so happy that I was able to give you this outlet, just to, even think about it, before coming to the interview.
Because it's so fun to talk about it. Because I know I've never, because, if I told my grandmother that, I didn't believe in religion, she'd be like, I don't want to hear it. I'm not hearing it. It's like, you believe in this, and that's what you believe. And I'm like, all right, Nini.
Nini.
That's what we call her, because we couldn't say Nana. Me and my brother couldn't say Nana as children, so we called her Nini, and that, stuck.
I couldn't say Grandpa when I was a kid, so I said Ompa.
Ompa's so cute!
It's Greek, actually. I spoke Greek before I spoke English.
Oh my, that's interesting.
I'm Canadian, though, so.
But we called her Nini. That's I'm going back to my grandmother. I love talking about my Nini, because she was one of my best friends growing up, and she's been in my whole entire life. Even when she lived with us, I'd see her every day. I'd hang out with her when I was a kid. I'd sit on her lap, watch the baseball game, and, tell her all these cool stories what I did at school. Where was I going with this?
I couldn't tell you.
She has such a major influence on me, and we call her Nini, and if you ever call her something else, she gets so mad. She's like, no, you do not call me Grandma, you don't call me Nana, you don't call me Graham, you don't do this. No, it's Nini or nothing else.
Did all the other grandkids call her Nini too?
Everyone would, my friends would call her Nini.
What?
Everyone would call her
Nini. I was the only one who called my grandfather Ompa. So all of my siblings called him Ompa, and then one of my cousins called him Pop Pop, and then one of my other cousins called him Grandpa? I don't remember. We all had different names for him.
Yeah.
It was so funny because he'd have shirts that say Best Pop Pop, or that there was nothing that said Ompa, because back in the day you couldn't customize stuff like that unless you paid $50 for a t-shirt.
Yeah. Okay, my mom would call her Nini, my godfather would call her Nini, my stepsisters would call her Nini, my stepdad would call her Nini. Everyone would call her that because that's what she preferred. And I have a little necklace of her ashes and everything.
You showed me that.
And it says Nini on it. It doesn't say her name, it says Nini on it. And I hold that when I'm talking, when I'm saying prayers or something, what I want to announce to the world is I hold on to that. That's just something I believe that would be connected to her, not necessarily just speaking to her, but holding something of her would kind of just get that mentality of connection and be and talk to her and hope that she's listening. Because that's what I believe is if you have something of someone that you know who has passed on, and you kind of hold on to that, they would be able to reach out to you, kind of like a spiritual visit, really.
So do you believe that without that item, that person isn't able to?
No. I believe that just having it gives you more of a connection,
yeah,
really.
Definitely.
Because if I'm holding, there's another dog.
Just had coffee. You could tell.
But not necessarily having an item would no, you can't have a connection with them. No, that's not the case. But for me, I like holding on to stuff that people that I've known have passed on. Something of theirs would help me more of remember exactly how they were, because it gives you that kind of that spiritual connection to them. It makes you remember certain things. But that's kind of like what I like to believe. That's like something really interesting about me is like I still have hold on to things from my old life, like from my old friends who have passed on's life. Like I would still like hold on to them. And I would remember their face and remember their smiles, and that's how I always thought out to be would be really interesting to have. So we have 45 seconds left.
Well, thank you everybody for listening again. My name is Victoria. This is my friend Mark.
Hi.
Talked about some spiritual musings in Mark's life.
Yes.
Thank you for listening, and sorry we were distracted by dogs, but again, we're college students, and we're both community advisors, so we live on campus, which means we cannot have pets.
Unless we go through the process.
Okay, there's a process, but Mark didn't go through the process all the way. It was this whole deal, so he can't have his beloved cat, Maka, here, but we're going to go visit the cat soon. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Bye. Say bye.
Bye.